All right. Thank you, Pastor Jay, for that glowing introduction tonight. I really appreciate that. It's very meaningful. All right. It was a Kia and a Nissan, but they did look alike, I'm just saying. So I got to defend myself somehow here. But if I keep digging a hole, maybe I'll get in deeper. But anyways. All right. It's good to be a Christian tonight, isn't it? Good to serve God. It really is. And I was thinking tonight, and I know sometimes like the last night of revivals, you always give the thank yous. But I was thinking tonight, I want to give a few thank yous, shout outs tonight. I do appreciate, in spite of Japheth being very difficult to work with there, he has been a great host, taking me around these different places and so on. I did even get some Christmas shopping done today. Isn't that amazing? Let the amazement, the wonder die down just a moment there. But thank you as well for those of you who've been bringing in food and going out to eat last night at Brother Rob there, I believe it is, Rob and Diane. Yes, all right. I'll make sure I get the right names here. Those have been bringing in food, and it's been excellent. And today, Pastor Japheth and I went to Brio's Coffee Shop, and I had a snickerdoodle latte, and that was excellent. And if you haven't been there yet and it's been served by Olivia, right? What are you waiting for? Your pastor seemed like a nice man, but he does have one major flaw, and he doesn't like coffee, and that is a problem. Not sure you can get to heaven and not like coffee. All right. But he slammed me, so I have to slam him, I'm back. But seriously, tonight, I do have a message on my heart, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And tonight, I did really feel in my heart that I wanted to be an encouragement to you, and I trust tonight it can be an encouragement to you. Trust this also can be a bit of a challenge as well, but I do want to be an encouragement, and I will be talking again about a little bit about being careful about having a critical spirit. I will be mentioning that tonight, and also want to mention that I've been talking about the theme as well, the issue of timeless truths. And one of the things I'm trying to call you to and call myself to as I preach to you, I hope you understand, I preach to myself as well, and that is to focus on the timeless, eternal truths. We have the ups and downs of life, right? And some days we have bad days, and some days we have great days, and some days we may feel moments of exhilaration and moments of despair. Especially for young people, right? For young people, at least I was a young person once. It's been a little longer than your pastor, but I was a young person once. And I remember some days could be the best of times and worst of times, and sometimes all within one day. You have these emotional highs and lows. And as you get older, sometimes you kind of learn to level things off perhaps somewhat. Although I will say in our family, I wish my family was able to be here with you, but my wife and I probably don't really fit all the stereotypes, the stereotypes about, emotional women and all these things. But I honestly probably have higher highs and lower lows than my wife does. She's more even-keeled, and if anybody has to, this may sound a little bit strange, I don't want to exaggerate too much, if anybody has to calm the other person down, it might almost be maybe more she to me than, me to her or something like that. And I also, by the way, I just thought I'd throw this thought in bonus. This has nothing to do with the message, but I also actually like shopping more than my wife does too. Isn't that shocking? That is pretty unusual. But anyways, that doesn't have anything to do with the message, but the other part did. But all right. Well, tell you what, let's stand together tonight. Ask God to help us this evening. And I hope you don't mind a little bit of humor thrown in the way. It helps us maybe stay awake, stay alert. But I hope you understand in the midst of the humor that I do, I am trying to communicate a truth. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 tonight, just one verse says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, not to give up. not to get discouraged and look around and say, well, the work we're doing is doesn't really matter. Our church attendance, our ministries, the Good News Club, the Sunday school class, the preaching. Lord, we realize the devil can always be there to discourage us and say, it doesn't really matter. Maybe for a young person tonight, they're looking at serving God and they're wondering, is it really worth it? Help us, Lord, to realize from Scripture that it really does matter. It's not in vain. Help us, Lord, to be steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord, realizing, as Apostle Paul says, that our labor is not in vain. And I pray that you to help us this evening. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, tonight as you, by the way, it is a nice looking crowd here on a Wednesday night. Thank you for coming tonight. But as we think tonight of 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul says your labor is not in vain, we could ask ourselves the question, why is our labor not in vain? You know, what evidence do you have, preacher, that serving God is not in vain? Well, the one really, really big answer is found right in Scripture, right in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you know 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's the great what? It's the great resurrection chapter. It tells us again, recounts the story that Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day, and he lives forevermore. And we see this all throughout 1 Corinthians 15. And in the very beginning it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Verse 3, how that Christ died for our sins. Verse 4, he's buried, he rose again the third day. That he was seen as Cephas, then of the 12, and so on. And verse 9, Paul says, "I'm the least of the apostles, not even worthy to be called an apostle. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." I want to remind you tonight, and young people tonight as well, I want to remind you tonight, when it comes to serving Jesus Christ, there's one big reason to serve him. That's because he's risen again. He's risen again, and when things get dark, when things get bleak, when you have bad days, when you feel like giving up, the ultimate reason we don't give up is because Jesus rose from the dead. And if Jesus rose from the dead and he lives forevermore, then you could almost get encouraged. You know what I'm saying? You could almost get encouraged realizing that God is there. He's going to meet our needs. There's a lot of things we could be negative about, and I understand that. Sometimes we have to discuss problems. I understand that. And sometimes we have to work through issues, and I'm not downplaying that. But he's risen. Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he has shown us that when you feel spiritually dead, when that family member seems far from God, that person you loved and once sat with in the pew near you has drifted away, there's always hope because Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the grave. And because he lives forevermore, we can have hope in him. The whole message of the gospel has always been that there is hope. And so 1 Corinthians 15 is a great resurrection chapter. And Paul ends it all by saying, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," you know, seeing that Christ has risen from the dead and seeing that, you know, by the grace of God, we can be what he calls us to be. Because of all these things, therefore, you really ought to always be abounding in the work of the Lord because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, this week, I've always enjoyed coming here and talking with your pastor about some of our family memories growing up and so on, and all the good times, the wrinkles, the funny ways, the quirks and everything, you know, family members growing up and so on. But I do want to tell you, as a young person growing up, I had some real struggles, real issues in my life, and I did have a problem with an explosive temper. And my brother Luke, he had these cool, calculating words. He could get under my skin, and I'd fly into a rage, and I'd go off and, I shouldn't say this, young people, but you know, I'd go off and sock him one. They didn't feel bad about it right afterwards, you know, because that's the way explosive tempers work. You know, you have the great volcanic eruption, then you feel bad about it right away. So on, I realize I probably should be a Christian, you know, but I remember one of those times as a teenager, getting mad and angry again, and kind of blowing up with my temper, and in fact, I was telling Pastor Japheth, I think, this the other day, that he has an older brother, Jared. I remember one time getting mad at my brother my brother Luke, and my cousin Jared was watching me, and he said, Joel, that's really bad. You know, Jared was a sensitive temperament and so on, and he saw my temper and so on, and he was right. I mean, what do you say? I mean, I shouldn't have lost my temper. But here's the thing, as a young person, I remember after the umpteenth time losing my temper and flying into a rage and feeling guilty then, I remember that evening walking outside, looking up at the stars and thinking, is there any hope? Am I ever going to get over this? Am I just kind of stuck in my sin and my problems and so on? But you know, I'm glad tonight to tell you the power of Jesus Christ can change what seems to be hopeless. The track that we're on, that we've always been on, if you will, that seems so hopeless, it's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It makes the difference. And I want to remind you tonight that your labor is not in vain. And just as some of you can probably testify how you once were and how you now are, we can also look at those around us tonight. I'm not talking here tonight necessarily, but I'm talking about those around us in our community and family and friends and so on. And we can look at them with hope and say, just as Jesus has transformed our life, He can transform them. He can transform them. What seems hopeless and so on. No matter the problems you have, by the way, tonight, no matter the problems you have, I'm sure they weren't quite as bad as the Corinthian church problems. Have you ever read about the problems in Corinth? There was a lot of deep, dark problems. To a troubled, bickering church, the Apostle Paul, you know what he does? He presents the message of the resurrection. Jesus has died, and He's risen again. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he could tell the Corinthian church, such were some of you. But you're washed, you're cleansed, you're sanctified. God has changed your life. So tonight, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you tonight. If you're discouraged, maybe for the young people here tonight, if you're in a situation where you're really wondering, is it worth it to serve God? I want to tell you tonight, your labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. It's worth it. It's worth it to serve God. Your labor tonight, I'm going to give you four quick points tonight. Your labor is not in vain. Now, there's some conditions tonight. We have to do God's will. Obviously, if we're not serving God or if we're not following God, the things we do will be in vain. But your labor is not in vain if it's constantly in the Lord. That's the first point tonight. Notice carefully what Paul says in our text. We are abounding in the work of the Lord. And he says the last phrase there, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. By the way, in my Bible tonight, I have this one verse text, and half the verse is on one page and half is on the other page. It's kind of one of those annoying things. You know how that, you ever had that sometimes? But anyways, that's the way my Bible is here, the way it's divided up. But Paul says your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord is crucial. If you are working in the Lord, it doesn't matter how great or insignificant others may think you are or are not. If you're working in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Now, if we're stubborn or filled with pride because of our abilities, we fail to humble ourselves when confronted with our faults, our labor becomes in vain. The things that we do, they fall short. Our abilities, our talents will fall short. You know, growing up, and I know Pastor Japheth knows about some of this, but he and I can both tell you of people that we both knew that had abilities, they had talents, they had charisma. But if those things aren't in the Lord, you're going to fall short. If those lives aren't surrendered to Christ, it is in vain. And I want to challenge you tonight that therefore we should not neglect our quiet time with the Lord. If we do, our labor's in vain. If we come to church and fail to truly worship, we don't listen to the voice of the Spirit, then our labor is in vain. But if it's in the Lord tonight, our labor is not in vain. And I just want to encourage you tonight that even if you say you invite somebody to church or you participate in a ministry and something doesn't seem to be going well, you ever done that? You try your best and something doesn't seem to be working right. If you're doing it in the Lord, I want to tell you tonight, it's not in vain, even though it may not seem initially like a great success. Your labor is not in vain, so long as you don't compromise truth. Proverbs tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever God has called you to do, the convictions that God has given you in your life, stay true to who God has called you to be. Whatever God has called you to do, the carefulness in your life and so on. And I've been pastoring now for over 20 years, and I've seen what happens when people compromise truth and they think that it'll be an easier road or they'll be able to reach more people. And many times it's actually deception from the enemy. Actually, the opposite happens. Not only do they end up losing the opportunities to reach out to the people, sometimes they lose their family, their marriage, tragically sometimes even their soul. But in our text, we are called to be steadfast, unmovable. We stand for principles of God's Word. We work, we walk in truth. John says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. What is light? Well, light is God's truth that it reveals to us on our pathways as we walk in the light. None of us here tonight have received all the light, right? We all have blind spots. We all have things, no doubt, we're unaware of. We have things that God hasn't shown us yet. But I'm telling you, if you obey God and all that God shows you to do, if I do the same, our labor is not in vain. Thirdly tonight, our labor is not in vain so long as we keep from developing a critical spirit. Pastor Japheth mentioned about some of that. I do want to mention that again tonight. This idea finds its way into my sermons every so often, and I think it should because we find it in Scripture. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, he says, I fear lest when I come, I should not find you such as I would. In other words, I'm afraid you're not going to be all that God wants you to be. And that I should be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there to be, listen to the words he uses, debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swallowings, tumults. In other words, kind of that critical spirit. You know, tonight I'm a Christian, and I take God's Word seriously. I would consider myself to be a conservative Christian, try to be a careful Christian, and so on. I don't want to be looking for loopholes to get out of doing what God calls me to do. But there's one danger, and I mentioned this the other night, and I'll mention it again. There's one danger that we as conservative Christians regularly face, and that is the danger of developing a critical spirit. I don't want to develop a critical spirit. I tell you, friends, tonight, if you want to reach out to people and stay away from having a critical spirit, if you want to connect with people, if you want to win people to Jesus, it's not going to work by having a critical spirit. And I find this principle so many times. And there over the years, and I say this carefully, but I've known some people, I think, who really love God. I really believe that. I believe I'm going to see them in heaven someday. But sometimes they've alienated some of their family. Sometimes they've alienated their friends. Sometimes they've caused problems in churches that you would not know anything about. I can think of illustrations and so on. But that critical spirit can create so much damage. It's kind of like this. Take just about any food that you enjoy. What's your favorite food? I mean, other than snickerdoodle lattes back there. But anything, any food or drink, right? A good hot cup of coffee, right, can become lukewarm if you let it go, right? Now, there's a guy in our church that I pastor, he actually likes lukewarm coffee. Now, that, I don't understand that. I can understand iced coffee. I don't care for iced coffee as much. I'm not a young person, All the young people today like iced coffee. I don't get it. I mean, I kind of like it, but, give me a cup of hot coffee. That's the way God intended coffee to be, But I remember, in fact, a number of years ago, I think it was a billboard or something advertising this iced coffee. I thought, iced coffee, I've heard of iced tea, but iced coffee, that's weird. Now it seems like, talk to younger people, the majority of it is iced coffee. At our Christian school, for several years, every Wednesday I would take a big Dunkin' Donuts order, and most of them would order iced coffee, some form thereof. But all of these things, food, drink, whatever it may be, it can go, a drink can go lukewarm. The fruit can become rotten. Meat, oh boy, you don't leave that out too long. That gets a little scary. We had I won't be too graphic tonight. I'm just telling you, as a kid, we moved around to a lot of different places. And one of the places we moved to, I think somebody had left behind a canned jar of meat that the seal was broken. And I'll just let you imagine what that was like. It was a great time of blessing for all. But, you know, anything like that can start off great, but it can become rotten, sour, stale, lukewarm, you know, whatever the adjective you want to use. And friends, our walk with God can become that kind of way unless we are careful that we stay out of having a critical spirit. Friends, if we let things go in our lives, our spirit towards our brother or sister grows sharp and belligerent. Our attitude towards those who have left our ranks or our church or our circle of friends grows sour. Our heart grows rotten and lukewarm. We look with suspicion at anyone who has an idea, priority, or emphasis that differs from ours. Be a Christian. Be conservative. Be careful, but don't be critical. Let the wellspring of your heart bring forth a refreshing, clear water of edification and encouragement, not the murky pond water. Do you follow my analogy tonight? Not the murky pond water of bitter surmising and critical attitudes. And how important it is. And I just want to tell you, friends, sometimes as a pastor, and I've told our church people that, sometimes when I get too negative and this person begins to bother me, or this situation, or the kids become too loud or rambunctious in my home or whatever it may be, you know what? After a while, I begin to realize, as the old song says, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I want to remind you tonight that your labor is not in vain, so long as you keep away from that critical spirit. We are a people of the resurrection. We believe that Jesus died and He rose again. And if Jesus conquered death, then friends, Jesus can help us conquer whatever can come our way. Finally tonight, our labor is not in vain so long as we keep from developing just a casual attitude toward the work of the kingdom of God. I want to challenge us tonight to rekindle the romance of ministry and working hard for Jesus. I've told the people in our church this past year that I'm chomping at the bit when it comes to pastoring. And I feel like I've fallen in love with pastoring again. Falling in love with serving Jesus. And notice what it says again in our text where Paul says, we are always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're not doing minimums. Go the extra mile. I want to tell you, friends, tonight, if you want to minister to somebody meaningful in your life, you know what you have to do that really connects with them? Do something that's inconvenient. Do something that may be difficult. You know, I can tell you there have been times that where I've traveled a ways to be with somebody in the hospital, and it's always meaningful when they realize that I've had to go the extra mile or spent some extra time or whatever it may be. And there's different ones of us can do different roles, and this applies in so many different ways. But friends, we have a wonderful calling, and that is to serve God. To the young people tonight, I want to tell you it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to serve God. It's a privilege to be able to work in the kingdom of God. You know, I've said this and thought of this different times, but when I sit in my study there in Tunkhannock, I sit in the second floor of our house and I look over the lawn between our parsonage and our church. I see the parking lot and so on and so forth. When I sit in my study, you know what I don't do? I don't sit there and thinking, oh, if only I weren't a Christian. If only I... It's such a hard life being a pastor. It's a terrible thing. Now, I will say there are discouraging days, right? You've had them too, right? But I don't think, oh, if only I could get away from it all and, you know, become a rancher in Montana, or which probably would be cool. But, you know what I'm saying? The devil can tempt us, if you will, with these fantasies. But I'm telling you tonight, it's a wonderful thing to do what God has called us to do. It's a wonderful thing to work for the kingdom of God. When my wife and I got married, 10 days after we got married, my wife and I took our first church. If I hadn't do it all over again, wouldn't have waited so long. But That was a joke, but you follow what I'm saying tonight. It's what God called us. I knew that God had called us to do that. God hasn't called you, most of you tonight, to do that, obviously. But it's a wonderful thing to work in the kingdom of God. Don't get me wrong. I like hobbies. I like hunting. I like disc golf. I kind of like golf. I'm not sure. I have to figure this out yet. My favorite hobby growing up was playing hockey. I come from Canada, and if you've never played hockey, I feel sorry for you. You don't know what you're missing and all these things. So I have hobbies, and I like to do these different things and so on. And as we get older, you know, it's nice to be able to buy things and to put away money in the 401k or all these different things, pursuits we can go after. But friends, we are called to serve God. We are called to abound in the work of the Lord. And I've been thinking about this past year especially, and I just want to work in the kingdom of God. I just want to serve God. I just want to follow Him. I want to be faithful. Let's renew our commitment and energies again into vision, planning, organizing, administrating, follow through. And the warning from Scripture in the parables is clear. We've been given resources and talents. Don't bury the talents that God has given you. Reach out and make a difference. Let's abound in the work of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain? Because as 1 Corinthians 15 says, He's risen. He's risen from the dead. And no matter how bad your day is or has been, maybe you had a horrible day today. I'm not sure. I had a good day today. But even if you had a horrible day today, I'm going to tell you, friends, tonight, it's still not in vain because He's risen. He's risen from the grave. And if something seems dead in your life or maybe in a sometimes in a church service, you ever been there before, you know, and maybe you're distracted or whatever it may be. But if you start worshiping God, you start crying out to God, you know what happens? Life comes. Life comes into our life because it's the resurrection power. We are called to be consistent, strong, abounding in the work of the Lord. It's not in vain. So tonight, as I said, this was on my heart. I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Your labor is not in vain. Young people, it's a wonderful thing to serve God. It really is. It's not in vain. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. The only thing I regret is not surrendering to God sooner. The only thing I regret is holding back or trying to, you know, debate with God about some foolish or silly thing, whatever it may be. That's the only thing that I regret. But I don't regret a day of serving God. Our labor is not in vain. Well, tonight, let's stand together. Let's stand together in closing prayer tonight. Ask God to help us. And I trust tonight this message, simple message, was an encouragement to you. I trust tonight as you leave this place, go back to work, go back to, you know, your task, your responsibilities, whatever it may be. I hope you can look at your jobs, the responsibilities that God has given you. I hope you can look at them in a little bit new light and say, Lord, it's not in vain. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to keep working in the church. I'm not going to stop reaching out to that person. It matters. It's not in vain. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,